Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Hello, good morning, church. Oh, wow. It's great to be here again. My name is Pastor Tina Atinga. I am Nelly's wife. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got married. Yay. Hallelujah. Let's give a big hand. All right. Trust me, it wasn't really a plan of mine, but the Lord really is very gracious to me. Nelly just sends his love from Melbourne. Right now, he's with our Melbourne family. And we just had the privilege of just walking with some of the churches here in Australia. Please pray for even more opportunities for us to go get together, encourage one another. This is really an exciting time for our nation, isn't it? Hey. All right. Happy Australia Day. That was yesterday. Did you guys get a good rest? Okay, last week, Pastor Nelly talked about Enoch, right? And he continued with the series on great faith. I'm really excited about this morning, both nervous and excited, because to be honest, the story of Noah, which we're going to be talking about today, is something that I have been reflecting on since I was told about the Arky-Arky Floody-Floody. And today, I'm just hoping to bring to light just a new perspective on what Noah really had to go through. I'd like to invite Adele to read the scripture, please.
So we are going to Genesis 6 today. It says here, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God." And for Hebrews 11 verse 7, we can see here, "By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith."
Thank you, Adele. If we could all stand up, I'd like to just start with prayer. Father, we thank you so much that it is your desire to reveal a new thing to us today, Lord. I pray that we get out of the way, Father, that we allow our hearts to be molded by you this morning. We appreciate your word. We appreciate your heroes, Lord God, in the Bible. We thank you so much for even the life of Noah. And God, we just want to just lay before your throne any preconceived notions about this story, anything, Father, that would hinder us from receiving what you have for us this morning, because, Father, it is your desire for us to receive faith. And we thank you so much, Lord, for this gathering this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we have one of the most intriguing, dramatic accounts in the Bible. And while the appeal of this action-filled aquatic adventure, just in line with Aquaman, I think. I don't really like the movie, but anyway. In line with that, I feel like over the years, and as I was reflecting on this, that we may have watered down the story of Noah, huh? It's appealing, you know, the whole adventure, the whole building of the ark, the two-by-twos, and just the miracle that had happened. And somewhere along the way, I think we have focused on just the novelty of the miracle without fully understanding what Noah had to go through when he received that instruction, when he heard from the Lord. And one of the things that really I wanted to bring about today, and since we're on the series of great faith, are what were expressions of Noah's faith. Our main text in Hebrews acknowledges that Noah did something by faith. Everybody, by faith. By faith, all right? So by faith this morning, we are going to receive from God, all right? Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, do you need an ark? Tell them, I Noah a guy. All right, sorry about that. Been hanging around my husband too long. Anyway, now great faith is needed because we have great challenges today, true? And every morning I wake up and I hear not just the news, even just my next door neighbor, I hear my friends speak. I hear my children speak. I mean, we can talk about, you know, the sad news about abortion being passed in the United States for full term. But just next door or just beside you, you hear the challenges of people, true? And in order for us to really understand faith, I believe it is important for us to learn from great heroes of faith like Noah. First thing to note, Noah did everything by faith. What does faith mean anyway? Theologian Randy Clark says, the word faith has traditionally been understood as believing the correct doctrinal positions about Jesus. They are important. However, in the Bible, these are not the emphasis of the word faith. Instead, faith, as Scripture emphasizes, it is most often understood as receiving a word of revelation from God. Everybody say receive. Believing the word, say believe. And calls for some act of obedience, say obey. Noah was an obedient man. A Greek translation of faith indicates a divine persuasion. That which is received. Noah had great faith. Not only was he persuaded that God's promises were true, he acted upon what he had heard. I'll say it again. He was not only persuaded that God's promises were true, he acted upon what he had heard. What are some of the evidences of Noah's faith from this text? Let's take a look. Title of my message is Make It Rain. Come on. All right. By faith, Noah discerned God's voice. Noah discerned God's voice. Let's read that part. One of the most important things we have to note here is that Noah walked with God. The ability to hear God's voice is directly proportional to how intensely you walk with God. Say it again. The ability to hear God's voice is directly proportional to the intensity of how close you are, how often you walk with God. Now, when you think about it, Noah had the ability to discern God's voice is vital to being able to face a future filled with certainty. The ability to discern God's voice is vital to being able to face a future filled with uncertainty. Did God initiate this, or could he have responded to Noah's inquiring of him? Say it again. Did God initiate this, or could he have just responded to Noah's inquiring of him? Could Noah have discerned God's grief and pain over man's wickedness and sought him for answers? Let me ask you, church, when was the last time you've inquired of God? If you wonder why you don't hear from God, when was the last time you actually inquired of God? When I wake up in the morning, and I'll say this is not regularly, I'm still working on it. I want to know what God wants me to see for that day. I want to know what God wants me to do or pray for or hear people. Now, if I wake up to bad news and I start to cry, so be it. But I take it to the foot of the cross, and you know what I do? I thank God that I feel. Say it again. I'll say it. I thank God that I feel his heart. How many of you sometimes, although this is not my way of getting depressed or anything, all right? When I feel God's heart, and it's easy to go down the downward spiral saying, God, why is this happening to the world? Why is this happening to this world? But instead of going down that downward spiral, why don't you ask God, press in more and ask God, what is your heart in this? What can I do about it? How can I help my friend? Just recently, we have had some deaths of people close to us, and it was painful. And I know one of our members of this congregation, relative, and actually he used to come to this congregation, but has recently passed away. And I just really want to thank those of you who have honored, I think Pastor Nali has mentioned this already last week, but I want to say thank you so much for going to Isaac's funeral and just being around Fotu and Upu. You know, it was hard for us. It was hard. And didn't understand initially. But when we inquire of God, when we sit at the foot of his throne, we start to realize his heart for this matter, and we start to act accordingly. So I encourage you, church, the first thing we need to do is when we go through floods or when we start to feel the rain coming, I encourage you to first check in your spirit, how closely are you walking with God? Before you make any conclusions, before you make any action steps, before you do any action steps, ask yourself, how closely are you walking with God? Noah was confident. He knew this was God's voice. God loves to talk to us. He encourages us, and as evidence here, he also warns us so that we can have the opportunity to avoid a negative consequence. Now, you may ask, how come the other people didn't hear God? I mean, were they also warned? Matthew 24 describes what they were doing. For as for the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. What did it look like here? Could it be these people were not just distracted, but were heavily, heavily into sin that they could not recognize God? You see, when we have sin patterns in our lives, and the more sin gets unrepented, the longer the sin is unrepented, the harder it is for us to walk closely to God. The harder it is for us to hear God, which is why I love fasting. How many of you love fasting? I used to hate fasting. Oh my gosh. But now I so look forward to fasting because when fasting, guess what? The ugly appears. I like ugly. I like ugly because I can deal with it. I can ask God to deal with it. And you know what? When we fast, we start to realize, my goodness, there's still a lot of purging that needs to happen in my life. There's still a lot in me that needs to get out. And you know why I like to get things out is because I can take God in. I encourage us to always have that time of reflection before the Lord, asking God, God, how can I look more like you? Where is it in my life I am hindering your presence? You know, when I say I love this, the reason why I thought of this title, apart from the fact that cash is my love language, Nelly always says that. When I say make it rain, initially, I've never, ever liked the rain. Not just, I love the physical rain, okay? I don't need to give my dog a bath. But when it comes to refining rain, I used to shy away from it. If you've been a Christian for so long, I mean, you finally realize that this is not an easy walk, hey? It's not for the faint-hearted, but the reward of the joy is incomparable, true? And when we walk along and we start to feel, okay, here it is, something's about to happen, two responses, true, is we can either respond to the rain with God's commands, with God's guidance, or we can ignore the warnings, okay? Noah did not ignore the warning. Because he knew after the rain passes by, after the floods have subsided, his promises are there. You are at a different level. You are at different grace. You are at a different place to receive blessing. True? After the flood, wow, what blessing. What blessing did Noah and his family receive? So when I say make it rain, I have learned to come to a conclusion is it ain't gonna stop. True? It's not gonna stop. But what we can change is our response to the trials, our response to the refining, our response to what God is doing in our lives so that we can be more and more like Him. And why did God choose to reveal the warning to Noah? Why did He reveal it to Noah? You see, this was probably the saddest part of the Bible. You know, when I read the verse and when it said that God regretted making mankind, he wanted to blot mankind from the earth. That for me was pretty sad. But immediately after then, Moses, who was the writer of Genesis, said Noah found favor in God. Just immediately after then. So it couldn't have been that Noah was special. No, he was included in the mix of all the sin. But yet he found favor in God. What does favor mean? Favor means unmerited, Unmerited favor means grace. So here we see the first, probably the first, expositions of God's unmerited favor he has given us. See, Noah decided to believe. Say it again. Noah decided to believe, and it counted to him as righteousness. And because of his belief, because he chose to walk with God, because he made good decisions, everybody say good decisions, he was in a position to receive that favor. Some of us here today need to remind ourselves, including me, that every decision we make is pivotal. It's very pivotal. Even a decision to believe or not is very pivotal. By faith, Noah discerned God's voice. Second thing that God, how Noah expressed his faith is that he took action. Everybody say, took action. Let's see that verse. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. To fear God is an act of faith. To fear God is an act of faith. What does it mean to fear God? Is it like, I love how my daughters once were having this conversation, and gosh, you could learn a lot from your kids. My younger daughter, Jordan, was asking me, the mom who should know a lot about the Bible, what does it mean when God is omnipresent? She said, Mom, what does it mean when the Bible says God is omnipresent? Tell me what omnipresence is. Oh, I got this, you know, Jordan? Omnipresence means that God can see you like he's there. How theological of me to say that, right? And you could see Jordan was like scratching her head. Like, and then Nazareth just couldn't stand it. She just couldn't. She was looking at me and like shaking her head. And she comes up to Jordan and say, Jordan, omnipresent means, and what does it mean is God is everywhere. He's there for you everywhere. Not like a creepy cop kind of way. Sort of like a, you know, like a godly wingman, you know? And then, you know, Jordan says, I get it. Man, these kids, they know how to describe. So when Nazareth went and described God that way, and I realized, wow, this girl knows exactly what it means when God, how to fear God the right way, you know? God is there because he is holy. He's not there to condemn us. He's not there to say, oh, you did the wrong thing again, therefore punishment is yours. No. When we fear God, we see how beautiful he is, how reverent he is, how glorious it is, that so much, how majestic it is, that we, our only response to him is to follow, is to honor, is to make him Lord. That is a healthy fear of God. Now, how do you get that healthy fear? You get to know him. You can feel his majesty. You can read about his greatness. That will give you a healthy fear of God. Now, to fear God is an act of faith, and Noah feared God. Did he compromise? Uh-uh. No compromise. He received instructions. He followed it to the T. Did not delay. That's what Noah did. How are you guys in this area? I'll say something, hey? I still have my debates with God. But if I do this, Lord, you know this is going to happen. Can I just close one eye and pretend I did everything you asked me to? I don't even believe I talk this way to God. But God, are you sure you want me to walk on over to this person and pray for him? Are you sure, Lord God, you're telling me this person's going to get healed when I pray? Are you sure? Maybe somebody else will pray for her. I'll just get Lily to do that. Lily's full of faith. She can do that. Are you sure, Lord God? Are you sure? If we have the holy fear of God, if we know how great he is, why do we doubt? Why do we doubt if we know how good God is? Why do we doubt if we know how much God loves us? Healthy fear is to know how big God is. And you know what Moses did? Moses did not build a sailboat. He did not build a cruise ship. He built an ark, a humongous ark that withstood the worst flood of all times. Was that monumental or what? Hey, it was big, it was huge, it was incredible, it was worth hearing the story about. It was worth watching. You know, you have to understand today, people don't go watch for a 5 out of 10, a 6 out of 10. They watch a 9, 10 out of 10, true? They like to see stories that are excellent. You know, that's the difference between Michael Jackson, sorry, I'm a fan of Michael Jackson, and somebody else who's not a 10 or a 9, right? People remember their acts. People remember their stories. In order for us to be able to be a herald, so to speak, because Noah was a herald of God's glory, we need to understand that the acts that God wants us to do is monumental. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? The reason why I keep on asking these questions is I really want you to take it before the throne of the Lord. I want you to ask, do you believe that God is doing a testimony, an amazing testimony in your life? Church, I look at your faces individually. I like scanning the congregation. I love looking at everybody's faces. And what I see is still a life script unfolding. Some of us may have forgotten that God had planned greatness in your life. Whether it be with a platform or no platform, God has planned greatness in your life. Whatever it is that you're going through right now, God is going to turn it around. We are going through some rain. We have to understand and remember that God waited for Noah to build the ark. True? He could have flooded the earth halfway through the ark. I mean, don't believe that movie, that what was that, with Russell Crowe? He was still putting some pitch, and then he had to swing. Oh, my goodness. I had to just look at some videos on that just to see. I couldn't get any accurate footage from that. God had waited for Noah to build the ark patiently before he allowed the flood to happen. So God has perfect timing. God knows when you're ready. Third thing, Noah saved his family. Through what he did, through his credibility, through his exposition of righteousness, it resulted in the saving of his household. Righteous and blameless life gave Noah credibility. Question for us, how do your personal decisions affect your family? Are we thinking generations? Church, don't get me wrong, I do make a lot of bad decisions sometimes. But along the years, God has told me to pause and think about the generations. Think about this action. How will it affect not just your family? How will it affect the co-workers around you? How will it affect your niece? How will it affect your children's children? When we think about it, Noah was steadfast in making decisions without compromise because he knew this was going to affect generations. Finally, Noah inherited the righteousness that comes from faith. I want us to pay attention to this part of the text that says, by this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah's act of faith in building the ark was ultimately a judgment against the world. Sometimes when we do acts of faith, it is not agreeable with the world, true? Now tell me, what do you think Noah was riding on when everybody was mocking him? Everyone around him was saying, what are you doing, bro? You're building an ark. They were laughing at him. They were just continuing to party. Noah was, for 100 years, he was building that ark. 100 years of persecution, 100 years of mocking. He continued to build it. Could it be his fear of God was greater than fear of man? I want us to understand this holy fear thing, and I want us to appreciate it. Because we are fearing a God who is all deserving of our praises, of our reverence, of our following him. And you know what? He loves us. That's the beauty of it. He loves us. If we are in a time of our life where we have to make critical decisions, and it does not line up with your emotions, most of the time it won't line up with your emotions, huh? Can I say this again? It will not line up with your emotions. So what should you do about it? Maybe ask God for the emotion. I think Nelly asked for the emotion for me. Seriously, I was so, and again, it's not false humility. I don't know how this guy went after me when I just kept on giving him the wrong signals, you know. Deep down inside, you know, I wanted to like, come on, pastor, come on over here. Please pray for me, you know. I really, really wanted. But he asked God for the grace. I just want to say to your spouse, thank you for having the right emotions. Tell your spouse, thank you for asking God for the right emotions. If you're married, tell that, okay? God can do miracles, seriously. Because half the time, or if not most of the time, our emotions are always in battle, and that's when we get clouded with our judgments. That's when we think we are making the right decision. But God has the ability to change our emotions. God has the ability to change our drive, our motivation. That's how great God is. He was a herald of righteousness. He showed God that he believed. How do our acts of faith testify to the world? How do our acts of faith testify to the world? Are we being a herald of God's glory, of God's love? By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Because of his faith in God manifested in his obedience to build the ark, Noah inherited the righteousness that comes from faith, the grace that God gives to all who believe in him. Now, this really is the culmination of what Romans 1 says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Faith is a gift from God. Are we in position to receive it? Do we believe? You know, there are different kinds of rain that you may be going through right now. For those of us who have kids going to school, we know that a rain is coming, right? We know it's the usual first days of school rain, wake up, breakfast, out the door, come on, you know. For me, that's a mighty rain already just to get my three kids out of the door. And for some of us here, some of the rain that we may be going through is quite painful, quite crucial. And how we respond to it, and it's funny because I saw this photo, and this is where I was born and bred in Manila. My first 20 years was in Manila, 21 years in Manila. And I remember when we would have the rains and the floods. This is all I knew about handling floods and rain. This is all I knew. It was a playground for us. You know, I used to drive cars in the flood. You know, when I was in college, I had this really old beat-up car. It had a hole. It was like the Flintstones car, seriously. There was a hole, and I was thankful for that hole because, for one thing, when the rain came, it just eased inside, and the car was still running. And you know, that's how I knew how to handle the flood. And yes, we can, you know, when things get a little hard, we can laugh at it. We can, you know, mosey along the way. But we know that not all floods are like this. There are times where pivotal decisions need to be made. There are times that calls for a really intense prayer, intense fasting. There are times when we have to give up what we feel like we are doing and read the word, read what's right, get with our brothers and sisters and ask, what do you think? Let's pray together. Help me. And that's why I love this ark. You know, there's a lot of people around me that tells me what's wrong with me, what I could do better, encourages me. I love it. It helps me with my faith. How we respond to the rain determines how we ride the flood. How we respond to the rain determines how we ride the flood. You can have rain coming to you in a conversation you have with a friend, and suddenly conversation turns sour and You're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, what's wrong with this girl? Or what's wrong with this man? But then the Lord quickly reveals something. He gives you a warning. This person is going through some hardships. How are you going to respond? Are you going to give her grace or are you going to get offended? Rain could be as simple as that. See a person walking along streets and God gives you warnings, I'll tell you. I remember one time the Lord gave me a warning about, in a dream, about how I was acting lately. And it was so intense. I woke up in the dream literally just crying. And it was funny. And I'm going to land this plane in a bit. In this case, dock the ship. I was, sorry. I had this intense dream. And this dream was, I was picking up people, putting them in this boat for some reason. It was like a super book boat that was flying up to the sky. It was flying up to the sky. And then literally, people were dropping from it left and right, and they were perishing. And suddenly, the whole ship just bounced back on earth, and I woke up. I could have said, man, what a nightmare. Whew, that was exciting, but really terrible because I was sweating. And then immediately, the Lord prompted me, I want you to pray. What it was a warning to my lifestyle. That I had forgotten to tell people about Jesus. That I had forgotten about my family member whom I left up to chance. Can you believe it? I was starting to leave my family members up to chance. Now that's not what God wants us to do. I'll say it blatantly right now. God wants us to fervently hear his heart for your relatives, no matter how hard they are to love. Your friends, no matter how hard they are to understand, inquire of the Lord. Lord, what is your heart for my friend? What is your heart for my family? So I can pray, I can love, I can be a testimony. I can have credibility because I'm loving them in a manner that you love them, not my way. Do not neglect the promptings or the warnings of the Holy Spirit, because if you do, you may miss out. And the decision you make may have steered your life's path the wrong way. Now, I say this in love. Now, I tell you, God is so gracious. A prayer, a desire to live like Noah by faith, God will answer. God will answer.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.